I think our Sunday school teachers are doing that job, right? Easter. You know, this is the most attended worship service across the nation. In fact, they said on a regular weekend, 44% of the American people will go to, not necessarily church alone, but any kind of religious organizations and services. But on Easter, 60% of Americans will go to church. So it's so good to have all of you here. If you haven't come to church for a while and you came here, so good to have you. And we hope that you will continue to worship the Lord with us. It is an awesome day. There is significance to that. Resurrection Sunday is indeed the most important celebration that the church would have all year. In fact, resurrection itself, the event, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, is the most important event in the course of human history. For 2,000 years, we have been looking back to it. 4,000 years before that, 4,000 years before that, they were looking forward to that. It is an event that changed everything. And so it's really, really important, not just to us, but really in life and death. Now, because of that, there's a lot of people that would say, you know, if we can just disprove the resurrection. You know, a lot of people out there, they don't believe it happened at all. I grew up with a bunch of Jewish folks. I lived in a Jewish neighborhood, went to school with Jewish classmates, and they were determined that the disciples stole the body. Never happened, you know. Resurrection never happened. And these frightened little kids, you know, whatever, farmers or fishermen, they went and stole the body from the Roman soldiers. That's what they believed in. And if you talk to others, whether they are modern people in Europe and all, a lot of them thinking, you know what, it never happened. It's just a myth. So if you can just prove it to be true, that it was a myth and a story, then the whole storyline of Christianity falls apart. Because you know what? As a Christian, if Jesus never resurrected, everything about our faith, well, they're just a disaster. We're believing something that makes absolutely no sense at all. So I want to share with you a few people who really believe that the resurrection never existed. Who were not only that, they were avowed atheists. The first person I want to show you is, his name is Lee Strobel. Some of you know that his movie, The Case for Christ, is coming out, is out already, and is one of the most popular movies amongst Christians, certainly. He wrote this famous book, The Case for Christ, that has been printed all over the place, you know, and translated. Lee Strobel, when he began this journey, was an avowed atheist. He was determined to prove to these crazy, dumb, stupid Christians that the resurrection never happened. And so as he went about trying to prove that, bringing up evidence, he found more and more evidence that not only was everything that Jesus taught said true, but the resurrection itself. There was no doubt that it was true. So instead of trying to prove it, instead of writing a book and documenting all these things, Lee Strobel became a Christian and one of the most powerful apologists for the Christian faith. Now, he wasn't the only one. You might remember this guy. He's a little old now. One of my heroes of the faith. His name is Josh McDowell. He was an atheist to the core. He wanted to prove to everybody the resurrection was nothing but a fraud. He went about doing it. He was smart. He was intelligent. He had the tools to do so. And as he began to do that, he discovered everything that he was trying to disprove was true. And he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And he wrote his book in 1972, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, and has written 115 books since, proving, examining, you know, just going at it, that the Christian faith is not only true by faith, but the evidence points to it. That's two people that we know very well, but some of you, and even in other parts of the society that are not Christian, they would know C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis, all those books that he wrote, movies that have been played out, you know, he was an avowed atheist. He not only was an avowed atheist, he hated Christians. He just couldn't stand them at all. He went about his whole life writing against the Christian faith. And he even said, finally, he said, I was like a prodigal kicking, struggling, resentful, just not wanting to believe that which in front of me was true. And finally, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And he wrote all those famous books some of you and our children have been reading about and watching the movie. C.S. Lewis. There's another guy that I thought was really interesting. You might know him. You probably don't, but you should. His name is Lewis Wallace. Lewis Wallace was a general, retired general from the Union Army. And he became the governor of the New Mexico Territory as well, high up there in the political sphere. And one day he was in a train, a car, and he was sitting with another guy named Robert Ingersoll, a politician. And they sat around and said, "We just can't stand these Christians. They just are so annoying. Everything they preach, and you know, all, it's just so fake. You know what? We are going to prove to the world that these Christians are nothing but fraud." So this guy, Lewis Wallace, or they call him Lou Wallace, he began to investigate, and he was going to write a book proving that the Christian faith was nothing but a fraud. Nobody should consider it. And as he was doing so, well, he found that everything that he was investigating was true. And so he gave his life to Jesus Christ. So instead of writing a book that would blast the Christian faith, he wrote another book. And you know the book. It's the most famous book in the 1800 and 19th century. The book's name is Ben-Hur. And it goes with not just Ben-Hur, Ben-Hur, A Tale of Christ. You're going to see the movie. They're remaking it. It's a great movie. It's a novel. But it's talking about the reality of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to share with you a few more. You say, why so many? I just want to let you know that if you don't believe in Jesus, if you're an atheist or if your friends are, just tell them to investigate. Try to prove that Jesus was a fraud. And don't worry, in a couple of years, I'll be baptizing them. This man, his name is Greg Lehman. He's a doctor. Famous, you know, wealthy, has a great life. He's got all the money he could wish for, fast cars and so forth. But you know what? He was an atheist too. And he just couldn't stand Christians. He wasn't very happy at all, but he really couldn't stand his neighbors. His neighbors were Christians. And he would look at them and they would smile, they would share the gospel, they would talk. And those are such hypocrites, you know. These Christians, they're all hypocrites. All they do is talk about things they never live out. So he went about trying to disprove them all. And guess what happened? Like all atheists, when they search and try to prove that Jesus Christ is not real, his resurrection is fake, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And he is just an ardent, you know, preacher as a doctor of the gospel message. Let me show you two more person, and then I'll move on from there. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, great man from Russia. He spoke out and wrote about the terrible things that the Soviet Union was doing to his people. And so as a result, he got thrown into the gulag. He was in prison, and he was an atheist. He was fighting against the Soviet Union, not as a Christian, but as an atheist. You shouldn't treat people this way. And in prison, the gospel was shared to him. And from an ardent atheist, he became one of the most powerful speakers for the love of Christ. Finally, this man, they call him the atheist of atheists. You don't know him, but if you don't know him, his name is Anthony Flew. He is a British philosopher, and for 60 years, if you want to go after Christians, you go to him. You take his book, see that book that he wrote, and many others. He just hated Christians. He said, the resurrection is nothing but a fraud, it's fake, and so forth. And I want to tell you, by the time he died in 2010, many said he has given his life to Jesus Christ. He has turned, and he believed that God is real. Why do I share that with you? Let me tell you something. The resurrection, if it can be proven to be not true, to be a fraud, to be a story, to be a lie, then there is no Christian faith, because everything that we live about, everything that we believe in, revolves around the fact that this man named Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Everybody knows that. It's in history. And 3 days later, on Resurrection Sunday, the first day, and that is the reason why we worship Jesus and worship God on the first day of the week, Sunday, and not Saturday, is because he resurrected from the dead. And people know that. He didn't just resurrect and disappear. He was here for a while. There were at least 500 people that have seen him with their own eyes. And in fact, if they want to prove that he was really dead, they could have just brought out his body anytime. They couldn't do it. Now I want to take you back to the passage we read. I use this passage because it was something that happened just before the resurrection of Jesus. It was another resurrection. It was a resurrection of Lazarus. Now, why is that important? Well, because of three thoughts here I want to share with you. First of all, why do people even care about the resurrection? You know, why do these atheists that I share with you and many others, why do you and I, why do we care about the resurrection? I want to tell you, one of the reasons is because there is a desperate condition that we live in as human beings. We live in this desperate conditions. You know, some of us may live a good life, an easy life. Maybe we have been born into it. Maybe so. But nevertheless, even if we were, somewhere along the line, something happens to us. You know, statistics are horrific. How horrible things are. You know, when you look at, we examine things like depression. We examine things that are just difficult for human beings to handle. Once in a while, if not all the time, we are going to face those things. In this passage, what we find is that this family just suffered a terrible loss. Their beloved brother, friend, Lazarus, died. He died. There's a meter that they measure. I don't know how they do this in clinical psychology, and that is 1 to 50. And different events that happen to your life, you know, is number 1 to 50 and somewhere in between. Like if you had to move. Moving is a really traumatic experience, you know. If you live in a house for 20 years and you have to move to another place, there's a lot of things you need to do. It's somewhere in the 20 or 30 range of stress. But I want to tell you what's the highest. The highest stress level is the death of a spouse. And then after that, the death of a sibling and so on and so forth. The stress level is critical. And so in this situation, you can see what happens. I mean, people gather all over them all morning. They're so sad that this young man, he was not old at all, Lazarus, had died. And there's nothing they can do about it. All they can do is bury him. Now, it's not always like that with us. But I want to tell you, human experience is this. It is a rough experience. We live a life that God has created and allowed us to live, but it's not an easy life. It's not a life that can be lived without God. And so somewhere along the line, whether it's at a young age, whether as a teenager when we're struggling with a lot of things, adolescent and growing up, and the thoughts of suicide and thoughts of how come nobody loves me and the thoughts of why is my parents divorcing, you know, all those things there. We go on to midlife and so on and so forth. We have all kinds of situations until we get to the later life and things begin to break down. And we have this issue and that issue and we begin to lose our friends and so forth. The desperate condition of humanity is there. And that's why they said, ask Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. This situation wouldn't happen. And how many of us, how many people in our world have said, God, if you just existed. In fact, C.S. Lewis, he said when he was an atheist, one of the things that he was thinking about and said often was how much he was so angry at God because he didn't exist. Can you imagine that? I'm angry at you because you don't exist. That's how we are, you know. If God was here, he would have fixed it. I wouldn't have this situation. I wouldn't have been laid off. My children wouldn't have done those things, you know. I wouldn't have lost my child. I wouldn't have separated from my wife. All these kind of things. If God was here, we have this desperate condition. And sometimes, you know, the world wants to paint it like nothing ever happens. We don't need God. Why do we need God? We do just fine. Well, that would be a lie. Because God created us to need him. And so Jesus comes, and even though you can read all the stuff, and you know that Jesus had a purpose, why he came late. He didn't come in time to heal Lazarus. He came later. And when he came, it was after 3 days. Now, if you are a doctor, you know what happens to a body after 3 days. You know, there's all kinds of stuff happens. But after 3 days, and that's why a lot of parts of the world, they actually bury the body before 3 days. because the body starts smelling. The body begins to break down. All the molecules, all those kind of things happen. He did it on purpose because he wanted to demonstrate to them and to us something awesome. And that's what he did when he came. When he's talking to Martha, when he's talking to Mary, he makes this amazing declaration. Yeah, Martha says, I know you can resurrect people. I know that. I believe it. I know you can do miracles. I know you can give life. I know all those things. But then Jesus said, no. You don't understand. Not only can I do those things, I am those things. I am the resurrection and the life. You know what that means? Have you thought about what in the world does that mean? I don't know if you ever have met people like this. We had an experience like that when we were recently on our trip in Ukraine. You know, sometimes you say this, you know, you have a party going on. Oh, what a nice party, or what a boring party, whatever it is, right? Your birthday party, your office party. But there's always one person. He comes in, or she comes in, and you say, he's not a part of the party, he is the party, you know? You ever had that? Somebody comes in and changes everything. He's not coming to a party, he is the party. He makes everything different. And when he leaves, oh, it's boring again. I want to tell you, it's not quite the same, okay? But you need to understand who Jesus is. He says, I am the resurrection. In the book of John, in the book of Luke here, six times there's a declaration that I am. I am the resurrection. You see, he's telling us, it isn't about being resurrected. It is about a relationship we have with him. It isn't about life, you know, eternal. It is about a relationship we have with him because he is life. He's the one that gave us life. He's the one that's going to give us life. He's going to be the person that's going to be there for eternal life. He is the resurrection. Jesus is the resurrection. And when you're connected with Jesus, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Things are going to be just fine. You see, no matter what's happening in our world, you know, our world is a little crazy. You know, Barbara and I were doing just some praying and researching. You know, Christians suffer so much, you know, around this world. Do you know that every 6 minutes, a Christian is martyred in this world? You know that? Every 6 minutes, a Christian is killed for his faith. Every 6 minutes. Have you read the stories in the Middle East? Have you read the story in China? I was reading a story about this Korean pastor who was on border of China and North Korea. And how he just ministered to these starving Koreans. You know, they're coming in and they've learned that, you know what? When you go there, you know, look for those buildings with little crosses on the top. They will help you. Isn't that amazing? That's awesome. So there's these little churches on the border of China and North Korea on the China side. And these starving Koreans are coming in and they look for these churches, you know. And they feed them, they clothe them, and so forth. And this one particular pastor, he did that. He did that for years. And then North Koreans, you know, they hate that. They don't want that to happen. Made all kinds of threat. And finally, recently, they sent an assassin and executed him on the China side, because he cared about people. No, not just that, because he was a Christian. But you know what? We as Christians, we don't worry about that kind of stuff. You know why? Because our Lord is not someone that can resurrect you. He is the resurrection. When we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, my goodness, what does it matter? What happens out there? He is the resurrection and the life. And that's what Easter is all about. That's why if they want to break the faith of Christianity down, they have to prove that the resurrection is fake. And they haven't done it for 2,000 years. And every time they try, you know what? They just end up becoming Christians. And then finally, Jesus said to them, the question for everyone, do you believe this? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Not trying to be judgmental at all, but I want to tell you, I was talking to Barbara on the way here. On Easter Sunday, man, if you don't go to church then you might never go to church ever, especially for a Christian. You know, one of the struggles we had, I remember ministering to young people for a long, long time, amongst families that were Buddhists. Somehow on Easter Sunday, today, It will be a day that they have to go Hansan. It will be the day that the parents say, you have to go to the cemetery and bow to your dead grandparents. Today's the day. And it was every year. It was every year. The young people would come to me and say, Pastor, what do we do? What do we do? You know, we can't disobey our parents. We got to honor them. They say, Easter's the day. And I would say to them, you're going to have to make a choice whether you go and worship the living or you go and bow down to the dead on Easter Sunday. I want to tell you, Easter, Resurrection Sunday, it's the greatest day that ever happened. Because it proved that everything that God has in mind for you and me, it's real. And not only that, don't sweat it. He's going to fulfill all his promises. He proved it on Resurrection Sunday. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much that you are real, you are who you are, and there's no one that can disprove that. You are alive, you resurrected, the grave could not hold you, and praise God, you gave that to us, and we believe it. Oh, Lord God, would you use us to be an instrument of that message? And we bless you again in Jesus' name.